The first reading is from Ephesians 5, 8 to 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The second reading is from John 3, 16 to 20. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. This is the word of God.
Okay, Happy New Year. Okay, being the first Sunday of the New Year, I couldn't resist to talk about New Year resolution. Well, the Bible does not speak for or against the concept of New Year's resolution, right? So you can either make it or not making it. But if a Christian is to make a New Year's resolution, what kind of resolution should he or she make? Let us begin with a story told by Max Lucado from a book called God Came Near, Chronicles of the Christ. It was written in 1987. I made minor alteration of that story. Max Lucado described when an electrical storm caused a blackout in the neighborhood. He fell his way through the darkness into the storage closet where he lit four candles. You can imagine how difficult Max Lucado is. Whoo, finally. Yay. Finally. So, he started to take one of the candles out of the closet. Okay, this one. But then this candle started to speak to him. Hey! You can't take me out of the closet. And Max felt foolish. But he answered the candles and said, huh? Why won't you come out of the closet? You're meant to give light. You can't give light inside the closet. I'm not ready. I need more time. I have decided I need to research on the job of light giving so that I won't make a bunch of mistakes when I go out. Huh? All right then. You're not the only candle. I still got three. But just as Max got his cheek full of air, he heard other voices. I'm busy.
Busy in
meditating. Meditating on what? On the importance of light. You can't take me out neither. I'm still trying to get my life together. I'm not stable enough. I lose my temper easily. I guess you could say that I'm a bit of a hothead. Okay then. Oh, this beautiful one. This last candle had a female voice, very pleasant to hear.
I'd like to help, but
lighting is not my gift. Not my gift. Sounds really familiar. Well, I'm a singer, and I sing to other candles to encourage them to burn more brightly. And without any permission from Max, she began singing. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And then all other three joined in singing, and the room is filled with music. But Max was frustrated. Finally, he started blowing the candles out just as they were singing, "Won't let Satan snuff me out." And as Max walked back into the darkness, he bumped into his wife, and the story ends with this conversation. "Where are the candles, honey?" she asked. They won't work. Where did you buy those candles anyway?" "Oh, they are church candles. Remember the church that closed down across town? I brought them there." "Oh," Max replied, "now I get it." We probably get it too, do we not? This story, which challenges those church people who don't do their job properly. What are the jobs? Shine. But when we go into the passage that Naomi just read for us today, we will notice that not being able to shine is just the symptom of a much deeper problem. And Paul was confronting them. And today, maybe through the passage, we are being confronted again. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at this passage, we pray that you would be our teacher, that not a human voice will be heard, and not the thoughts of a human mind, but the very voice of God, in the mind of God, transmitted by the Holy Spirit, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. The book of Ephesians presents to us a pattern for Christian living. The first three chapters talk about who the Christian is, and the last three, how he lives, how he acts, how he functions. Paul, in these three chapters, gives us a clear, concise, and careful outline of how we are to behave as new creatures. Like many of us in the first century world, Paul often trades in opposite, for example, sin and righteousness, death and life. And in chapter 5, he talks about light and darkness. Right in the beginning of chapter 5, Paul calls the follower of Christ to be imitators of God. And please note that. In English, we can't tell the power of this call, because in Greek, it is actually a command, not a choice, not an option, because the Greek verb is in imperative mood. So under this command, believers are required to walk in love and abstain from sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. And Paul warns them that people who are immoral, impure, or greedy will have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. So he exhorted, do not be partner with these people. And from the text we read today, we learn that Paul challenges his reader at the very core of their being to be what God's want them to be. And the fundamental distinction between unbelievers and those in Christ is exemplified. Look at it. Verse 8. For once you were darkness. Okay, pay attention. It doesn't say you were in darkness. You were darkness. What's the difference between you were in darkness and you were darkness? That means we were not an innocent victim of Satan's system. We were part of it. We contribute to the darkness. But now, through the work of Christ, we are no longer part of the evil plan. The word also emphasizes the fact that being dark is something in the past, theoretically, okay? And now we are light. And the problem is, we are either dark or light. There is no middle ground. And that's the problem of biblical teaching. We always think that standing in the middle is sort of safe. But most of the time, it's either black or white. And in this case, it's either light or darkness. And the transformation happened because now we are in the Lord. This is closely related to what verse 1 is said, that we should imitate God because we are in his family. And if we are in the Lord, we are children of the Lord and children of light. And light should become our identity. And light should determine how we walk. When the English use the English verb walk in Greek, actually it means be occupied with. That means, in other words, how we live, how we think, how we feel, how we say, and what we are going to do is all guarded by our own identity. And this is challenging because being a Christian in this sense means that we are no longer just simply making an intellectual agreement with a theological creed, but rather it becomes a commitment to a God. And our lives should be evidence of who we are. And in reality, we all know too well that when we apply the standard of God's word to our lives, we have to admit that there is far too much darkness still in here. Do we not? So Paul, the good news is, gives us some good advice on how to live as children of light. From verse 9 to the following verses, actually, it gives us some guidelines. Firstly, we have to know the children of light are characterized by the fruit, and here gives us three kinds of fruit. The first one is goodness. The second one, justice, but the translation that we just read was righteousness. And the third one is truth. The problem is, as a Christian, we usually use these, you know, all these kinds of things as a jargon, you know. But actually, in what way or to what extent we really understand this is a problematic. So let's go back to the original Greek then. The first word, goodness, translated into English, is original Greek is agaosune. Actually, this is very interesting because something is missing. There should be another animation. Actually, this goodness thing only occurs 4 times in the New Testament. That means it is strictly a biblical. So you can tell that it's not the usual goodness. For example, if people need our help, we just help them. We should not be greedy or, you know, we have to be honest, etc. It's actually a kind of intrinsic goodness that comes from God. It's a kind of goodness that showed itself in spiritual and moral excellence. The second fruit is called righteousness. It's actually a legal term. It's about you get the verdict of approval. From whom? Not from humankind. You got the approval from God. It's a kind of divine approval. And the third one is truth. When Jesus said, "I am the truth," he actually invites to us a kind of moral sphere that only can be found from heaven. But interestingly, this kind of truth can only be found from heaven, but is revealed by us. So it's actually, this truthfulness is a kind of partnership. It's from God, but God needs us to reveal it. Okay, after talking about the fruit, let's talk about the second thing that God, that Paul gave us. As children of light, we should try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. While most of us are parents here, it's very easy to fall into the temptation of thinking about, or Paul, when you speak of, find out what is pleasing to the Lord, it's like parents saying to their child, "Hey, look, you better do what pleases me, or else blah, blah, blah. Now go figure out what I want you to do. And remember, if you don't do what I want you to do, you're going to get it." My dear brothers and sisters, we don't have to go out and scratch our head or sit in a dark room and figure out, maybe possibly, what God might want us to do. Because thankfully, we have the scriptures. And the scriptures tells us very plainly what pleases God. But the problem is, learning what is pleasing to God is not something theoretical. That means head knowledge. It is something that needs practices. I repeat once again. From the head, open the Bible, we can always find things that we can do to please God. But in reality, are we making any progress, even though we've got these kind of head knowledges? Let me give you an example. Everybody, a lot of us playing music here, right? When you play music, you need those things. Okay. Yeah. What are these, you know, the chords, the music sheets or whatever. Okay. But the point is, some people can do some kind of thing called sight singing, right? And you look at it, and then you can sing it out. But whether you, if even you can sing it out, you can't really play it, right? To play exactly the notes that are written on the page, and then sometimes to an extent that even without looking at the page, you can still play them with passion, with intensity, and in beauty, need practices. This is the same in Christian living. As Christians, it is not about doing. Why you come to church? Because if coming to church makes you feel good, this is not a good sign. Non-Christians that come to church and make themselves feeling really good. But true Christians will come to church because they know that they need it. When coming to the service, they experience the kind of joy and the fullness of meeting God. And it happens to all kinds of Christian practices, including offering, including prayer, including whatever look like religious. The problem for Christians are we do a lot of things, but we do it without understanding why we have to do it. And after doing it, it makes us feel good. As children of light, practice the Father's pleasure can be rewarding, because in the end of the days, it is not the objective of pleasing God. It is that pleasing God become part of us. Can you see the difference? Thirdly, as children of light, we have a mission. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So as contrast with the imperative, this characteristic of a child of God begins with the strongest possible no. Take no part. Paul actually asks his reader to reprove. Reprove what? In the immediate context is to reprove the false teachers, you know, in the Asia Minor churches that really, really confront true Christianity or to speak against Christ. So Paul's suggestion is not a passive avoidance, don't talk about it, but an active critique. Because anything that becomes visible is light. And when people reprove the dark things, it will automatically move them out from under the secrecy into a state of revelation. So this is a fascinating turn, my brothers and sisters, because when sin is exposed, verse 13, change can take place and sins can be forgiven. Can you see the logic? Expose sin. And then something will change. And the change actually bring forth forgiveness. Okay, so let us think this way. I think many people got this kind of thing at your home, right? In your garden. What are they? Yeah. So how it works? Huh? Can you put it in the closet? No. Yeah, you have to put it, you know, in the front yard or in the backyard, but, you know, you have to expose it to daylight. So, if we don't put it under the daylight, it will not shine in the darkness. The more daylight it gets, the longer it illuminates in the darkness. So, do you want to be a shining light for Christ? We have to absorb the brightness of God. Through what? Through effort you can think of. The most generic one is, you know, to put yourself into prayer, to read more Bible and blah, blah, blah. I don't want to go into details because everyone who grew up in church know all those jargons. The thing is, even you know it, you have to practice it, okay? And verse 14 was actually Paul's citation of an early hymn or poem known to both Paul and the Ephesian believers. So it's not an original from Paul. It may be well known to others in the Greco-Roman world as the letter to the Ephesians were intended for multiple churches. It is voice to call the dead. Who are those dead? You know, not the real physical dead bodies, but believers in temporal spiritual death. It's a call to repent. Walking out from the darkness and walk with fellowship with God. A person who wants to walk with God is not allowed to fall asleep in the state of sin. And he can rise from temporal spiritual death by just a simple confession. Isn't it nice? Isn't it so nice that just a simple confession can make us right with God again? You don't have to do it in front of others. You don't have to do it through others. Just do it day by day, moment by moment, wherever you need, to Jesus. Because the light of Christ has come. Christians should have been radically transformed, and they have a call, a responsibility to usher in the shining of his light upon others so they too can be transformed. And it's time to wake up. This world is full of darkness, with many people stumbling around trying to find a way. We are called to be a light to the world, so don't keep the light bottle up. It's time to allow the light of Christ to shine on us. You don't need to be a pastor like me. You can be who you are, a student, a housewife, whatever. Just make full use of the potential that God has given you to shine. We are the children of light. We don't, this is something I have to say very carefully. We don't need to belong to a church. I say it once again. We don't need to belong to a church because we need to be the church. To let our light shine and radiate the glorious character of Jesus Christ. Once we were darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. So, New Year resolution 2020. To all candles of the church, please leave the closet and shine. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we have read something maybe sounds familiar to most of us. But please help us to look at it once again, seriously. Maybe even though we don't make New Year resolutions, but we want to make full use of our own identity. It's a gracious gift. It's a very valuable gift. That is, we are children of light. So Lord, empower us. Give us the kind of hope and joy and strength in this year to come.